Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Highland Street. If you would, let's all stand to begin our time singing together. What a mighty God we serve.
What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve.
What a mighty God we serve.
What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve.
He came to live a perfect life. He came to be the living Word, our light. He came to die so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise to show His power and might. That's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. 'Cause He gave His everything. 'Cause He gave His everything. He came to live again in us. He came to be a conquering King and friend. He came to heal and show the lost ones His love. He came to go, prepare a place for us. That's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. 'Cause He gave His everything.
Hallelujah. 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 That's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. 'Cause He gave His everything. 'Cause He gave His everything.
Be seated, please.
Well, welcome to Highland. We're glad that you're here today. We've been expecting you. We believe that God has sent people our way. We're just delighted that you're here today. If you are visiting with us, a guest here, we know that it can be confusing to visit a new church. We have a little flyer called Navigator, and I hope you'll pick one up at the door if you haven't already done that. And I hope you visit the Welcome Center, where we have some folks who can answer your questions, some literature that will help you. So welcome to Highland. Glad you're here. You were going to talk about the Navigator. We practiced this.
Right. Well, I was going to mention that there's lots of important details in the Navigator that we hope that you picked up on your way in, but he just said that.
We have a couple placing membership with us today, Carson and Randy Shirley. And their son Parker. Are the Shirleys here? Would you stand over here? I don't see them. Well, they'll be coming, and they are going to be part of our congregation. We welcome them to Highland.
I have one important thing I want to remind you of today. That is for all staff, elders, ministry leaders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, and reach group leaders, there is a Smiled meeting this afternoon at 4:30. In the youth mission, and it's really important that all of you are there to join us for that time. We hope to see you then.
There are some wonderful events coming up this spring, and we want to tell you about three of them. On the first Sunday in April, that's April 2nd, Dr. Mark Parker of Harding University Graduate School of Religion will be with us for a seminar called Tackling the Tough Questions. Have you ever been talking with someone and they ask you a question you can't answer, or perhaps you've had that question yourself about evolution or pain and suffering, about the resurrection of Christ? Well, Mark is going to be here. There'll be a joint session, the Sunday school classes in the Life Center that morning, and then two afternoon sessions. There'll be some flyers about that later. But keep that in mind, first Sunday of April, Tackling the Tough Questions.
And that's going to be a great opportunity to invite friends who might be interested in exploring some of those questions. And another opportunity to invite friends, neighbors, coworkers will be the second Sunday in April, April 9th. That will be our second annual open house for REACH groups, which is kind of like a friend day for our REACH groups. And we want to encourage all of our REACH groups to be prayerfully planning that time even now, but more importantly, to prayerfully be considering who you might want to invite to join you that night for REACH group. That's April 9th.
Then the third Sunday in April is Easter Sunday, when we celebrate together the great hope of the Christian faith, the greatest miracle of all time, the resurrection. And many people in our community look at that day as a time to go to church, and I think some of our friends would come with us if we invite them. So three Sundays in a row where we can invite guests to come and be with us.
So we wanted to let you know about those three opportunities, but what's most important today is to continue and to begin to pray for those times that are coming up. So if you would please join us as we ask God's blessings on these outreach opportunities. Father, it's so good to be together as a family again today, not for ourselves, but for you. We come here to praise your name. You're the reason we're here. And it's so good to be together and to be encouraged by one another. We're excited about these opportunities coming in the month of April, Father, where it's so natural for us to invite friends and coworkers and people who don't know you. Father, I want to pray a special blessing over the Tough Questions seminar that Dr. Mark Powell will lead. And I pray that you will just bless that time to be a conversation starter with people who don't know you. And I pray that you will use that time as you continue to pursue hearts who are looking for you. And I also pray your blessings on the open house that will be coming. I pray that all of our homes will be filled with people who don't know you, and that once again conversations can continue about all you've done in our life. We want to make much of you during those times, and so we ask your blessings.
We do pray for these events along with Easter Sunday, which is a major time in our community. And we just pray that people will come to know Christ through these events. We want to ask a special blessing on our students from the Christian Student Center who are in Slidell, Louisiana this morning dealing with cleanup from Hurricane Katrina. We ask you bless their time and their work and their safe return. We ask you, Father, to be with us as we worship together today. Be with our elder, Dave Kelly, as he speaks to us briefly later. Be with us as those of us who lead in the worship, and be with all of us as we come before your throne. And, Father, we do acknowledge that you are in control. And we do thank you for the forgiveness of sins that we received by the blood of Jesus Christ at the cross. And, Father, we pray that through this service you would open our eyes, see the great works that you are doing in our lives, in the lives of our spiritual community, and in also in the life of our larger community. And so we pray, Father, for this time of worship, that you would accept our praise, that you would stir our hearts, that you would be in our presence. And we pray this in Jesus, and all the church said, amen.
Amen. Well, this morning we gather around a table. We gather as a family around a table. Not because of anything we've done, not because of who we are, but because the Lord of the universe has invited us. He's invited you to be at his table. At this table, all are on the same playing field. We've all been invited, rich and poor, got it together, the not got it togethers. We're all here at the table together because of what he's done. Would you join me in prayer? We're so grateful for the body of Christ. Father, it's the only reason that we can have relationship with you. I pray today as we break this bread together that you will unite our hearts together even more closely, but more importantly, that you will break our hearts, that you will break down the parts of us that we have not submitted to your sovereignty, that you will bring us and draw us nearer to your heart. This is our prayer in Christ. Amen. I am mine no more. I am mine no more. I've been bought with blood. I am mine no more. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus Let's continue our prayer together. God, thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that has purchased us, that has paid the price, that has washed us free. There was a price we could not pay, but Jesus Christ paid it for us. And because of that, we are set free from sin to live exactly as you would have us to live, with purpose, with freedom in you, to glorify your name. We're just so, so grateful today. I pray as we take this cup together this morning that we will be inspired to join your mission because we have been set free. And I pray this in his name. Amen. O cleanser of the mess I made, upon the hill I placed a tray, stretched on a cross your body crushed, by human hands you formed from dust. How deserve. How
wonder of the mess I've made, with everything at your feet laid. I watch as all my cares erode, as from my soul these words explode. How wonderful your mercy is, how awesome are your ways. I come to worship you for
this time. We'd like to dismiss our children ages 2 through 5 for Kingdom Kids. So let's sing as they make their way to the back of the room. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
We now have the opportunity for our offering. Would you bow with me, please? Our Father in heaven, we come to you now. We know that you're present with us here. And Father, we're just so thankful. We're thankful for the ways you blessed us, the ways you blessed us materially. Father, you blessed us so much that sometimes we just don't even realize it. We expect it. But Father, we're also thankful for the opportunity to give. And Father, we pray that you'll be with us through this giving, and Father, we just pray that you will bless us, and Father, we pray that that our giving glorifies and blesses you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We've spoken about wilderness the last several weeks, and I know that wilderness has different meanings to different people. Several years ago, Beth and I planned a trip to Italy, in part to visit our son Max, who was at the Harding University Extension in Florence. A business colleague who had visited Italy previously convinced me that renting a car was the best way to get around the country. And I believed him. The first leg of our trip involved flying into Milan, which was in the north, and driving over 300 miles to Rome. Our hotel was located near the Vatican, and the hotel told me that all I needed to do once I got into Rome was to find the Aurelian Way. And the hotel, or that road would take me directly to the hotel. The drive to Rome was long, but I learned to negotiate toll booths, get gas, and I even visited Pisa on the way. But by the time we got to Rome, it was dark. Beth had a map of Rome, and I was driving, and we found the Aurelian Way. In fact, I think we found four of them. But I had my male sense of location and direction, and I knew that St. Peter's Cathedral towered over the city and that our hotel was close by. And so we proceeded on. You know, the Aurelian Way and the roads in Rome are great if you're riding a chariot, but they're not laid out on a grid. And every time I would make a turn that I thought was logical, I'd end up further and further away from St. Peter's. The roads in Rome are full of a lot of aggressive drivers, and I was trying to maneuver around some of those roads, and I had a lot of horns honked at me. A lot of people doing this, and I don't know what this is, but stress was building. I was searching for street signs, couldn't find them, and this went on for almost an hour. I remember stopping the car. I think I was in a parking lot of a commuter rail station. I was facing St. Peter's about a half a mile away. The Tiber River was between us. And I remember thinking, I'm 5,000 miles from home. I don't speak or read Italian. The navigator is questioning my decision making. And I don't know how to get from where I am to where I want to go. Now, I could go on and on, but Harold hinted that this is to be brief. And I'd lose my metaphor anyway. But the good news is I'm here today. I'm not lost in Rome. And I can even laugh about the experience now. Now I'm a little smarter. Next time it's Eurotrain. But you know, I've had many times of uncertainty in my life, and I've learned through every one of them that God is with me. Many times I've thought that my life needs to go straight ahead, and God has turned me one way or the other. And I didn't like it at the time, but God was right. In times of wilderness, I'm most conscious of God's presence in my life. And the next time I have a time of uncertainty, I hope that I learn from my experiences. At Highland, we're in a time of uncertainty, so to speak, as to our future location. But I still see God's presence in this church. In the areas that I'm associated with, which is mainly the youth ministry, I see a dedicated group of ministers, Buster, Donnie, and Brooke have established a program that's not only successful here, but it's emulated by many programs across the country. God is working through Highland to bless efforts in many places. There's almost 70 youth staff volunteers, adult youth staff volunteers, involved in this youth ministry. I see God at work in these people. We've got many former youth that are working in this youth ministry. I just started to list some of them. Katie Land, Ashley Hodge, Laura Bontrager, Daniel McGraw, Leslie Gwynn, Jonathan Jerkins, Clay Midyette. They're now working and serving and loving our teens, your teens. I see God at work. And the teens themselves. I was at a youth retreat last weekend, and the speaker, who's worked with many youth groups and among the youth, made a comment. He said, you know, this youth group is different. They're different from most teenagers, and they're different from most youth groups. When you ask them to do something, they do it readily. They were encouraging each other all day. You know, I see God working in our teens, and God's with us here today. The point I want to make is that we all go through times of uncertainty. We all go through some times of wilderness. But when God is with us, those times are pretty small.
Let's stand together.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen on earth. Who can grasp your infinite fathom the depths of your love? You
wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above, and I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you, holy God, to whom all praise is due.
Thy power throughout the universe.
Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, remember him? High school English. He wrote an essay called Ancient Spanish Ballads. A couple of lines go like this. The mule trainer of Spain carols with the early lark. The vine dresser of Sicily has his evening hymn. The fisherman of Naples his boat song. The goat herder of Switzerland, the Scots Highlander, the English plowboy, all have their ballads and traditional songs. And then Longfellow ends his essay with the famous line, "Music is the universal language of mankind, poetry their universal pastime and delight." Well, music is something that we hear everywhere we go. It's a window into our souls. We hear it when we're gassing up at Exxon, when we're eating in the restaurant, when we're riding in the elevator, even when we're walking to the stores at Laurelwood. They now have outside speakers. And if that's not enough, we have iPods, and we can take music with us everywhere we go. And music is the window of our soul. It's a reflection of our reality. It's the way we express our pain and our suffering. It's the words that we use to carry our dreams and our hopes. Music lifts us up when we're down. Music clarifies us when we're confused. Music calms us when we're afraid. Music redirects us when we're lost. Music inspires us when we're defeated. One of the oldest songs anywhere in the world is found in Exodus chapter 15. It's called the Song of Moses. And it's followed by a shorter song of Miriam. We just have the words. We don't have the music here. Bible scholars say that this is probably the oldest text anywhere in the Bible. There's nothing like it anywhere else in the ancient world. Nothing like it anywhere else in the Old Testament. Exodus 15, Song of Moses. At the other end of the Bible, in Revelation 15, John tells of going to heaven. And he has a vision of what heaven is going to be like. And he sees the people gathered in worship. And he looks at their order of service. And they have two hymns on the order of service that day. And one is called the Song of the Lamb. And we have some of the words. "Great and amazing are your deeds, Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Lord, who will not fear and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you. For your judgments have been revealed." That's the Song of the Lamb, the second song that they sing in heaven in Revelation 15. The first song on the order of service that day was the Song of Moses, likely the song in Exodus 15. Well, as we bring today a close to our discussion about wilderness, we settle in these wonderful words that are sort of a mountaintop experience of all the wilderness. And this, the oldest song in the world, begins with three verses. We might say three stanzas. The first stanza begins this way, Exodus 15, verse 1. I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider He has thrown into the sea. That phrase, triumphed gloriously, is literally, He has risen up like a wave. They're standing there next to the Red Sea, and they imagine that God is like a wave. Rick Warren says that our task is to be surfers and catch the wave that God sends into the shore. That's not far from the meaning here. And then verse 2, the Lord is my strength and my might, and He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. It addresses God in the third person. This is talking about God. And in these five verses, we have eight qualities of God. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is His name. And then it goes back to the events of the Red Sea. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he cast into the sea. His picked officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Stanza 1 begins and ends with the story of the Red Sea. And then we come to stanza 2. That's verses 6 through 12. And these are different. If the first five stanzas talked about the Red Sea much like a newspaper reporter, these are much more figurative, much more filled with metaphor. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. Now instead of talking about God, the second verse talks directly to God. And the greatness of your majesty, you overthrew your adversaries. You sent out your fury. It consumed them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. Imagine that scene. And the flood stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. It's a very figurative description of what happened there. And then Pharaoh speaks. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Nothing of that was going to happen. God's addressed again. Verse 10, you blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. God won the great victory. As Israel stood between the sea on one side and the elite of Pharaoh's army on the other side, they had no idea what was going to happen. But God came and God won the victory. Who is like you? Verse 11, O Lord, among the gods. Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in splendor, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. Well, stanzas 1 and 2 are about the events of the Red Sea. The third stanza, 13 through 18, are the world's reaction to the Red Sea. First of all, Israel's reaction. In your steadfast love, you led the people whom you redeemed. You guided them by your strength to your holy abode. Israel was loved. It was guided by God's amazing strength. And then the rest of the nations, there's a report on them. The peoples heard. They trembled. Pangs seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom were dismayed. Trembling seized the leaders of Moab. The inhabitants of Canaan melted away. Terror and dread fell upon them by the might of your arm. They became still as stone. All the nations of the world heard what happened at the Red Sea, and they were afraid, amazed at what had happened. Then turns back to Israel. Your people, O Lord, passed by until the people whom you acquired passed by. You brought them in and planted them on the mountain of your own possession. The place, O Lord, that you made your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, that your hands have established. Now, based upon what he did at the Red Sea, they begin to anticipate what God is going to do when they get into the land and give them the promised land. And then the mighty end of this song, verse 18, the Lord will reign forever and ever. It looks closely at one of the great metaphors of Scripture. God is compared to a king who rules over his kingdom, but not like an earthly king whose rule is limited and whose days are numbered. This king has no place where he doesn't rule, and his reign will go on forever and ever. Song of Moses, Exodus 15, oldest song in the world. Why is this song so important to us, and what does it say? I think it's helpful to back up and get a bigger picture of what was going on. Israel's just come out of Egypt. They're just barely a nation. They're about to get lost in the wilderness. They're surrounded by nations that are greater than, mightier than they are. Babylon and Assyria and the Hittites, world powers. Seven nations in the promised land like the Jebusites and the Perizzites. And then just just fast forward 1,000 years or 2,000 years. The Assyrians are gone. The Hittites don't exist anymore. The Babylonians are gone. But Israel's still around. The Jebusites, the Perizzites, don't exist. But Israel thrives. It's the key question of the Old Testament. Why do all the other superpowers and all the other peoples of the ancient world cease to exist? And Israel alone survives. And the answer to that question is Exodus 15. Exodus 15. The song reflects a move from fear to faith. If you turn back to chapter 14, before the Red Sea, listen to these words of fear. Verse 9, or verse 8. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He pursued the Israelites, who were going out boldly. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, his chariot drivers, his army. They overtook them, camped by the sea. Verse 10. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them in great fear. The Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why? What have you done to us? Bring us out of Egypt. Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Now those are classic fear lines. Were there no cemeteries in Egypt, Moses, that you brought us out to the wilderness to die? Moses, it's better to live as slaves than it is to die as free men. We'd rather have the Egyptian beat us than to kill us. In Exodus 14, Israel thinks like slaves. They're filled with the fear of slaves. They can't see beyond slavery. The slaves of fear see more chances of failure than they do of success. Instead of stepping out in faith, they surrender in fear. And sometimes I think like a slave of fear. We can't do that. It's too great a risk. The forces against us are greater than the forces for us. We're doomed. We can't win. Let's circle the wagons. Get the lifeboats. It's better to live as slaves than to die in freedom. Well, this is the song of fear in Exodus 14. It's the language of slaves. It's the heart of defeat. There is no song for Exodus 14. There is no song. We don't write songs about negative thinking. We don't write songs about the fear of slavery. And just contrast the spirit of Exodus 14 with the spirit of the Song of Moses in the next chapter. It's a move from the slavery of fear to the song of faith. It's a move from the moans of defeat to the shouts of victory. It's a move from pessimism of doubt to the assurance of hope. It's a move from the aroma of death to the aroma of faith. Think about our songs. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. What a mighty God we serve. Behold, He comes, riding on a cloud. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder, You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words. Our songs move us from fear to faith. We can't do that. Is replaced by God works in mysterious ways. It's too great a risk. Is replaced by faith is the victory. Circle the wagons becomes what an awesome God we serve. But these songs also give voice to a belief about God. Exodus 15 stands out. It's there. It's remembered because it gives voice to great faith. There's no other monument to faith quite like the Song of Moses. Listen to the voices. Let me just read some of the voices, some of the lines around Exodus 14. Were there no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the wilderness? Exodus 16. Why did you bring us to the wilderness to die? At least we had food in Egypt. Exodus 17. Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us with thirst? In the middle of all that stands the Song of Moses that gives voice to faith. What we say, the words we speak, the music we sing is a window into our soul, but it works both ways. The words reveal our soul, but the words also form our soul. And the way we talk, the words we use, are extremely important. I was talking to a graduate student the other day, and he said there's a new discipline that they're calling psycholinguistics. When we go to a counselor, when we go to a psychologist, what do they want to do? They want us to talk. Why do we talk? Because they're trained to listen to our words. Why are they trained to listen to our words? Because in our words, we reveal our soul. We reveal what's on the inside. And by listening to our words, they can tell what's wrong with us. We've all heard of Freudian slips, haven't we? When a person says something they didn't really intend to say, but even though they didn't intend to say it, it inadvertently revealed what they really thought. Words reveal our soul. Suppose somebody listened to us talk at this church. What does our language reveal about our soul? Do we use the language of Exodus 14? The language of the fear of slavery? Or do we use the language of faith of Exodus 15? Look at how Israel spoke in Exodus 15. The song gives us a window into their heart. In Exodus 14, they didn't see God at all at the Red Sea. But in Exodus 15, the Song of Moses, they insist that God was the decisive factor at the Red Sea. And God's action extended beyond the Red Sea to events in their future that they couldn't even see, and to events in other lands. And they began to treat what God would do in the future as accomplished fact. And they began to confess that God would reign forever and ever. We must be a Song of Moses church. We must look at events around us and insist God is the decisive factor in that event. We must look for the waves that God sends, and like surfers, ride those waves to shore. We must take what we see God doing and extend it into what we can't see, into the future that we don't even know. We must sing that our God reigns forever and ever. Because our words reveal our hearts. Our words must say that God is the decisive factor in life. Our words must clearly say that God rules our world. Our words must praise Him. Our hearts are formed by our words. The words we say are overheard by our children, and they form their hearts. The words that we say to each other touch all of us, and they form our hearts. The words we say are overheard by the community around us. We must sing the psalm that confesses that God is King. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, we're surrounded by songwriters. Have you noticed it? Songwriters everywhere. New songs every day on the radio. New songs coming out on CD, just one right after another. We are in the midst of a music revolution. And these songwriters around us share their hearts through their songs. Suppose one of those songwriters came to Highland Street Church of Christ. And we said, write a song for us. Write a song about what you hear us saying. Write a song that would reflect our hearts for us. What words would the songwriter hear? Would he write, I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously, and the Lord reigns forever and ever? Or suppose a songwriter came to your Sunday school class, or came to your huddle group or your reach group. What would that songwriter hear you saying? What would she hear? What would she sense was going on in your hearts? What chorus would she write for your class, for your group? Would she write, the Lord is our strength in our song? Or suppose a songwriter came to your house today, sat with you at lunch, rode around with you in the car, listened to you talk. What song would He write about your family? Would it be the song of fear? Or would it be a song of faith? This is my God, and I will praise Him. This is my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. John reminds us that heaven is going to be a place of singing. And won't that be a marvelous time? Imagine we'll be in heaven and we'll be sitting there in the pews of heaven with people who were at the Red Sea, people who saw the sea split, and we'll be there with people who were born in the wilderness, who saw the walls of Jericho fall down. And I imagine at some point when we're all there, we'll turn to the people who were at the Red Sea and say, you know, we had the words to the song of Moses, but we've never heard the music. Will you sing it for us? And they'll all get up, all the people at the Red Sea, and they'll sing the song of Moses. And we'll hear the music for the first time. And then other groups throughout history will start singing their song. We'll be hearing songs and words we've never heard before. But songs of faith that have been sung by people at different points in history. And then I'm looking forward to that day, that moment, when the people in heaven say, hey, Memphis. Hey, Highland Street Church of Christ. Sing us your song. Highland Street Church of Christ. What is your song?
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, your holy name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, your holy name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Behold, He comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, out of Zion till salvation comes. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, out of Zion till salvation comes. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, out of Zion till salvation comes. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Sing aloud to God, let the people shout before Him.
throne. Hallelujah, sing aloud to God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. From the ends of the earth, from the depths of the sea,
from the depths of the sea,
let all creation praise His name. From the ends of the earth,
from the ends of the earth,
from the depths of the sea,
from the depths of the sea,
let all creation praise His name. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord.
Just remain standing just for a moment. Remain standing. Yes, hallelujah. Our greatest, deepest desire is for everybody in Memphis to be there singing that song, those songs with us in heaven. That's what we want. This is our story. This is our song to praise our Savior all the day long. And so we have a time of response. We're an open community. If you want to be a part of us, we're just on our way. Debbie Moltz came last week with some issues that she was facing in her life. And you just gathered around her in a wonderful way. And she wanted me to tell you that a college student came up to her she never met before, waited in line, talked to her, and a pregnant young woman came up to share some of her story. And it made all the difference this week, Debbie said. It made the difference. And she said she just wanted us all to know, everyone to know that that's what the community of Christ is like. And that can be part of your life. Don't leave with some burden you can't carry by yourself. Even if we don't know you. Debbie had two people didn't know her. We'll walk with you. We'll try to walk. We have one more song we're going to sing. And it's about an old, old story. It's an old story. About a Savior who came from glory and died at Calvary to save people like us. We're not going to heaven on our own. We're going because of what happened at Calvary. And we're just trying to repent of our sins every day and claim victory in Jesus. The elders and staff will be at the front. If there's any way we can help you, serve you, minister to you, help you to join hands as we make our way to heaven to sing the song on that great day, make your way to the front. Let's sing about the old, old story.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
I heard about
a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Please join me in our benediction together. Now, having encountered the living God, may we go surrounded by the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, rooted in God's love and faithfulness, and empowered by his Spirit, and may we share the life and hope we found. Amen.